1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Welcome back to the Vox Pop. I'm Alan Shartok. Next week's deadline for congressional action is to avoid falling off the so-called fiscal cliff is fast approaching. Last Friday's mass shooting in Sandy Hook Elementary School has complicated matters by adding gun policy to the already thick legislative agenda being debated in the waning days of this lame duck session. Those ongoing debates are being played out in the media like a game of political chicken, with each side hoping the other blinks first. Today we want to know if you think a compromise can be reached, any compromise, by January 1st. Also, there is a bonus question. What really ticks you off? I mean, what is it? What is your secret prejudice? In other words, it may be irrational. Mine, for example, is people who say like too much. You know, you sit on a train and there somebody's sitting down the way and then they're talking too loud on their cell phone and saying like, then I like. So you could do that if you wanted, or anything else that, you know, that is a secret prejudice of yours. Prejudices are not always healthy, by the way. I admit that. Let's go to Dennis in Kerhonkson, 1-800-348-2551. Dennis, you're on. Welcome.
Welcome. Been a while, Alan.
Well, whose fault is that?
Well, it's my fault. I just kind of got frustrated with the whole thing, but I'll get to my point.
Oh, good.
I've been doing quite a bit of research about this myself, and the information that I have is that despite or regardless of what type of agreement is reached between the Republicans and the Democrats as far as this fiscal cliff nonsense is concerned, the most optimistic estimate for any kind of increased tax revenue from any settlement that Bonnier and Obama might come to is at the most $70 to $100 billion a year in additional tax revenue, and that's the most optimistic. That's even if they tax people making more than $250,000 a
year. What was the figure, Dennis, that you just used? How much?
The most optimistic is between $70 and $100 billion in additional tax revenue per year.
So then the rest of it has to come out of spending, right?
Well, the question that I have is of what significance is all of this conversation about the fiscal cliff and increased tax revenues if the federal budget deficit is $1.3 trillion a year.
Yeah.
I think we're looking at the wrong issues, and to me, it's just another one of these situations where a good job is being done of obscuring the real problems and what the reality of the situation is as far as the global financial system is concerned.
So you think it's global, Dennis? I just want to give everybody a chance, although you're getting a lot of extra time right now. You know why?
Why is that?
Because nobody else is on the phone.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, I want everybody to be on the phone. Now, you think that it's global and that really to try to address it on the national level is a mistake.
Well, Alan, the reason that you haven't heard from me for a while is because years ago I was screaming bloody murder about central banks, and I got cut off a number of times expressing some very adamant opinions about Greenspan and how they should all go to jail and kind of criminals the central bankers are. Now it's becoming much more kind of mainstream, and people are understanding better what all of this quantitative easing is, and the European Central Bank and the Bank of Japan and the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve and blah, 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 and how the economy is on life support, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So these are the real issues around any discussions that have to take place as far as fiscal.
So, Dennis, just to cut it short, you think that this is, because I don't want to get you angry for the next year and a half. So you think that the issue is that we should not be talking just in the scope of the national government, but we should be talking about the international mess. Is that what you think?
Well, we have to look at central banking is what we have to look at. The whole institution of central banking and how it is destroying not only our economy, but the global economy and, you know, by extension, really the environment and everything. I mean, that's really the heart of the problem. Any discussion about any, like, tinkering with the fringes of the budget or the fiscal cliff is all essentially just a diversionary tactic.
What do you do for a living?
I'm an automobile mechanic.
Interesting. And you sound like you should be a professor.
Well, I spend a great deal of time trying to sort out the nonsense and have most of my life spent a good deal of time trying to kind of read between the lines.
Okay,
and
now
I feel I've made
guess what you've done. Your big contribution is all five phones are ringing. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's go to Malcolm in Sunderland. Okay, Mike, Malcolm, you're on.
Good afternoon.
Okay.
Well,
okay, yeah.
My main comment is this. You know, I heard a news clip just before the show came on with Obama coming on, or President Obama, I should say, coming on and saying that he's willing to compromise a lot more than Democrats even are going to want. And I'm just I'm made a little bit uncomfortable by that because I feel that we're finally in a place where, you know, people are pushing forward on the idea, apparently calling, you know, sending, writing letters, all that to Congress and stuff, saying that we really did this election, you know, we had this election, it means something, and the Republicans are kind of, you know, backpedaling a little bit, as they should be, because they can read the writing on the wall. I'm a little upset that he's doing that. I think we really need to push a little harder, because we should not be balancing this on the backs of poor and needy people at all. There's plenty of wealth in this country to really just patriotically help people.
Thank you, Malcolm. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Joe in Middletown. But, Joe, I want to announce the phone number once again, 1-800-348-2551. Okay, Joe, you're on.
Thank you. I don't see why this cliff is being portrayed as a crisis or a cliff. I think the solution to financial problems growing up and the way you grew up, the way we grew up, the way what makes sense is, when you've got financial problems, you have to spend less and increase your income. So it's, in our personal lives, it means getting an extra job, working as a waiter or something. You have to increase your income and cut your expenses. And that's what I understand is going to happen this automatically. We're going to make cuts, and we're going to raise our revenue, increase our income by taxing more. I think we all have to pay more taxes. The notion that you can target out a single group, I think, becomes a political football and misses the whole point. Our point is we have to spend less and we have to make more by taxing everybody a little more.
But, Joe, the question is the devil being in the details, right? I mean, who pays more, how much more, and what programs are cut?
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think what it's hard for people to understand is that if everybody has this notion that we can get $6 worth of government or $10 worth of government for $6 worth of cost, and everybody feels happy as long as they look around and the people being targeted to pay more aren't them, and as long as the thing being cut isn't what they use.
That's
I think
also,
everybody has to get used to the idea that that part of government which they like and want has to take a hit, and they have to take a hit in their taxes, so does their neighbor. The fact that you can pick out an unsympathetic group and tax them, this notion, we got to tax the rich. Why don't we eat the rich?
Okay, but wait. Yeah. Let me ask you a question, just so we get a good frame of reference, if you don't mind. How much money do you make?
No, I'm not going to talk about that. It doesn't matter what
Well, no. The reason I'm asking you that, Joe, just so you'll know, is that you're saying everybody is interested in, you know, the other guy, what the other guy is doing. And I just wanted to know if that applied to you. That's all.
On a personal, selfish, human level, sure, I feel happier when they give out the number, and I say, "Oh, good, thank goodness, I'm below that number. Going to text that guy." But I know that's not the solution.
No.
I'll pay more.
But wait a second. But there is inequality when you're giving oil companies at this time, who are making obscene profits, even more tax breaks. That's crazy, isn't it?
That is crazy, and I'm not. I don't like corporate welfare. That gets my dander going too.
Mm.
But that's only a piece of it. The main thing that we spend money on is what the masses of people use. You know, you could cut these, I believe, you could cut all these big subsidies to big companies, and it still doesn't get you where we have to go.
No, but you could also cut a certain amount of the defense industry
in
this country.
We could have peace on earth. That's what the discussion should start with, but we're not there either. And the fact that the notion that everybody thinks we can get by this. You know, look, if Bill Gates is worth $10 billion and Warren Buffett is worth $10 billion and the government spends $10 billion a day, maybe those are the numbers, maybe they're not, you could tax those guys into oblivion, take away everything they have, and then on Wednesday you need another 10 billionaire. But to focus the solution to this problem on a small group of taxpayers, even if they are the rich that everybody seems to, you know, why don't we chase the rich through the streets like Frankenstein being chased by the villagers with torches, you know? That doesn't get us there. I don't think that gets us there. I think.
Okay, Joe, yeah. You come around for the third time. You know what that means, right?
That means I'm off.
Thanks, right. Joe.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Perceptive Guy. Let's go to Eric in Saratoga. Okay, Eric, you're on. Nobody wants to talk about like. Yeah, go ahead.
One of my things is everybody talks about entitlements and taxing the rich and everything like that. You're getting a tax return, you're not paying taxes. And one of the things that really irked me was I was in the grocery store the other day, and the people in front of me used one of those New York State, the SNAP cards, I guess they call them.
Yeah.
And the amount of groceries that they had for what they were purchasing, it was, everything was processed foods and soda and everything like that. Now, I know there's legitimate people that need these things, but when you're wearing name brand sneakers, leather jackets, and I hear you talking about how you bought your husband and yourself and your young child a new iPhone, and you're using one of these SNAP cards, that's an entitlement that can go away. We need the tighter control over things like that.
Okay.
I mean, it just, to me, you know, it's sad. And like I told your call screener, you know, when I went out into the parking lot, the same family is getting into this huge SUV, you know, brand new SUV, a better vehicle than I have, and I'm busting my hump, and I don't get a tax return because I make too much money. I mean, where is that? You know, where is the government controlling those kind of things?
Well, here's what. I don't know if it's true that, you know, that this thing is being abused the way you suggest, but I do know that your feelings about this are probably very important and that they are probably shared by a lot of people. And that is what I think is important. Eric, you've come around a couple of times, too, so you know what that means, right?
Pardon me?
I said you've come around on your subject a couple of times, so you know what that means, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, goodbye. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WMC comes from Hildean, the Lincoln Family Home, Manchester, Vermont. Featuring a 1912 Christmas in the historic home for the month of December. Open daily, year-round, 9:30 to 4:30, hildean.org. Snow Farm Williamsburg, a New England craft program offering creative arts workshops taught by master craftspeople for adults and teens, beginners and up, snowfarm.org. And the Hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley, 1-888-525-4767 for appointments.
And here's the situation, as a friend of mine used to say. We have three phones blinking. That means there are two that are not. You can get in right now and have a real good chance. And with us is the fabulous producer of this program, Patrick Dondras, who is going to read a little bit from what we've been getting on Facebook. Good afternoon to you, Buffalo Bob.
Thanks. Tommy on Facebook says, I say go over the cliff before any cuts to social programs. On almost every issue, the Democrats have to negotiate with the totally irrational positions of the GOP. There's no evidence that tax cuts to the wealthy create jobs, as they claim. It's amazing that the Republicans think it's better to bring hardship upon millions rather than raise taxes on the rich. Kipsburg on WAMC.org says compromise must occur in the middle, so to speak, but the middle no longer exists in Congress. Just try getting the two Senate leaders from Nevada and Kentucky, respectively, to sit down in a public forum and debate on a compromise. And they say try if you wish for an ulcer. And then James on Twitter, at James D. Hiller, says, my pet peeve, a guy here in Montgomery who got a disabled parking tag for when he transports his elderly mom, but uses it himself.
Yeah, that's bad. You know, I have a very bad back, and I refuse to, I could get one, but I refuse to do that.
You get a better spot.
You know,
why wouldn't
you
get one?
Well, because it's not right, because there's always somebody worse than you are.
That's fair enough.
Who really needs that spot.
Now, just a reminder, you can check in on WAMC's Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC radio. Tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, or check in online at WAMC.org on our Vox Pop page and comment there.
That's a real tweet. And thank you, Patrick.
Thanks, just,
okay, let's go to Tim in Ballston Spa. Okay, Tim, go.
Yes, something that you brought up that kind of got me peeved off.
Oh.
About the Rice nomination.
Well, what about it?
I haven't heard anyone else mention that that was a marvelous piece of political maneuvering by the Republicans to try to get that Senate seat in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard that discussion.
Oh, yeah, no. There's no question. It's been around. I certainly have said it a number of times. But there are others who have said it also. Obviously, the reason that they wanted Kerry is because it freed up the seat. And right now, I'll be honest with you, Tim, right now it looks like it's going to work. Because guess who wants to run for the seat again? Martha Coakley. Will you give me a break? Put another way. Hasten, Jason. Bring the basin. I mean, you know, that they'll just she'll just, you know, lose it again. And then there are a couple of, you know, hacky sort of Democrats from around Boston who say they're going to run. They're you know, the usual congressional crowd. And this guy will come in. So Scott Brown. So I think unless they can find a guy whose name ends in Kennedy, and I don't know who that is. I don't know who's left. Then I think that the chances are that he's going to get it again, and it will have worked. And that's why they didn't want Rice. But I also think, frankly, it was stupid. And I'll tell you why, because if there's one thing the Republicans should have learned in this last election, the demographics of the United States are changing. Not only the demographics, but who the people in the demographics are willing to engage in some political action, so that you get women who are incredibly frustrated and angry about the GOP, right to life issues and some of the others, and then you get people who are minorities, Hispanics and blacks, who feel, you know, hey, in numbers there's a good deal here, and we can go out there and we can really make this happen, and they did. Now you take a black woman who is both of those demographics, woman and black, and you say, you're brilliant, we know that, and we're going to step on you. And let me tell you, that doesn't help their current problem at all.
And I used to cut John McCain a lot of slack.
Yeah, well, he was a different guy.
And so is he, of course, but... Yeah. He has turned into such a political hyena.
Yeah. I think that's a good way of describing it. Hey, Tim, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Jeff in LaGrangeville. Jeff, how are things in LaGrangeville?
Things are bright and sunny today, a little bit brisk and breezy, but with this bright sun outside, Alan, who can complain?
No one could complain. I'm here, you're there.
And you're there, and I'm here. And by the way, I don't understand why the Republicans, who are supposed to be focusing on fiscal matters, keep wanting to get into the bedroom, but that's a separate issue. The reason I'm calling is, first thing, I think your mechanic that you opened the show with,
yeah,
I forget his name, was right on the money when he points out that any tax increase isn't even going to make the slightest bit of a dent in the overspending that our government is doing.
Yeah.
And my suggestion is, I don't understand why everybody wants to point to their favorite sacred cow. Let's just do what Governor Cuomo did. Whack, 15% off the budget everywhere, and then do it again next year. And yeah, okay, we can increase some taxes, but if we just whack the whole budget all the way across the top, and we just keep doing that until we're finally taking in as much as we're spending, the problem goes away. But unfortunately, our government is driven by all of these interests that sprinkle money on all of our esteemed legislators, so it ain't going to happen.
So, Jeff, but in all honesty and respectfully, really respectfully, always respectfully, I ask you this. You know, your kid goes to school and all of a sudden they don't have supplies for the child. The school has to fire teachers. So there are 35 or 40 kids in a classroom. Don't you think that, you know, the idea of just whacking indiscriminately has some issues?
Well, certainly it has some issues, but is that said? I don't have kids. So, should I say I don't have, I'm telling you, I'm not saying it's okay because I don't have kids. I'm just saying, you know, that's not one of my sacred cows, so you're not going to get a lot of sympathy from me. And by the way,
yeah,
I think that the teachers are undercompensated and the administrators are way overcompensated, but you and I would be going down another road on that discussion.
Well, you're half right. Anyway, Jeff, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it very much. You know, your point of view is one which is shared by a lot of people. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to George in Argyle, where everybody wears socks. Okay, George.
Hi, how are you?
Well, you know, my feet are a little cold.
Oh, good. It's warmer than it was yesterday.
Yeah, okay.
My only thing that I was going to say was everybody's talking about the 250 or 400,000 or whatever. I don't feel that the majority of people have any idea of what those salaries must be like. I certainly don't, never earned one. But if it was, if everybody said $20,000 a month, you would, I think you'd have a better understanding.
Yeah.
That you know, $250,000 is $20,800 and something a month. I think everybody could understand it that way.
So what, like $5,000 a week, something like that?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you make a point.
I think people understanding it, I think there's a much better chance. 250, 100, 150, 200, 400. Most people don't understand those kind of numbers. But $24,000 a month or $20,000 a month is understandable.
Well, statistically, in terms of the fact that people don't have it and therefore don't understand it, you're certainly right. George, thank you. Interesting perspective. Okay, let's go to Bill in Glens Falls. Okay, you're on, Bill.
Hi, I'd just like to know, I hear lots of talk about Social Security and the crisis caused by the bulge in the population because of the baby boom, but what I don't hear anybody talking about is what happens on the other end of the bulge, because it's seems that cost is going to go up and benefits are going to go down now, and I accept that, and I'm not going to fight the inevitable. But on the other end, when the population goes down, the fund is going to become overfunded. And what would be nice would be to see either benefits increase or cost decrease or have the excess put into a rainy day fund. But what I suspect is going to happen is, like any other overfunded program, it's going to get looted. And I don't hear anybody talking about anybody doing anything to prevent that.
Well, it certainly has been looted up to now, Bill. You're exactly right.
I know.
About that. You know, there's this theory that we're just borrowing it from ourselves, but in the end, that's very dangerous stuff. We used to have Mike McNulty as our congressman here, and he used to make that his number one issue. If they had just left it alone and let it accumulate the way it was supposed to, there would never have been any problems. So,
right, and they'll have another opportunity now, because like at the end of the baby boom, it's going to be overfunded.
Yeah.
And it would be nice that they didn't repeat the mistake.
And when is the baby boom over, do you know?
Well, I think I'm at the tail end. I was born in 59, and they raised the retirement age for me to 67 and a half.
Yeah.
That'll probably go up to 70 by the time I get there.
Well,
but anyway, it'd be nice to hear somebody talk about preventing it from happening again.
Well, you just did, and I appreciate it, Bill. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, that leaves two free phones. That was Bill from Glens Falls, or as we say around here, Glen Falls. Let's go to Margaret in Rosendale. Hey, Margaret. Great to have
you
with us.
Hi there, Dr. Shartok. I had a comment on a previous caller. You know, it's very disgusting for us to make judgments on people. Let me tell you a situation about myself.
Sure.
I had to go and request and apply for aid for my family, and I was declined. And the whole process I went through was just demoralizing. And for someone to stand in line behind somebody and say, oh, look at their shoes, let me see what car they get into, and they're using a SNAP card. How do you know they didn't buy that car and now they lost their job and they're scraping, making their payments? How do you know they didn't get those shoes for a Christmas present? You just can't make judgments on people like that. You know, it's a very small stipend that some people get help for food. And to the process that you have to go through to ask for the help, it really is a lot for people. So to have to worry about who's behind you and what they're thinking and take out my card now and swipe this and, oh, let me feel like a piece of garbage for buying my groceries, it's just unnecessary. You don't know what people go through in their home.
Margaret, thank you very much. It's a very poignant and important call. Appreciate it.
And let me just say one more thing.
Sure, of course.
You know, of course, we all have to cut back, and of course we all have to make major choices in this country. But instead of taking the food out of some children's mouths, how about we take some money from these oil companies?
Well, that's my position.
Thank you.
And
you have a good day.
Thank you, Margaret. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Susan in Red Hook. That's, by the way, there are three free phones right now. So if you want to get onto the Vox Pop today, and you're one of these people who call me and said I could never get onto the Vox Pop, now is the time to call 1-800-348-2551, and you'll be there, and we'll hear you. Susan from Red Hook, you're on.
Yes, hi, Alan. Well, I just want to make a first comment that has nothing to do with my... Well, it does, actually, but I just want to say that the recent tragedy in the school means we have to get serious about gun control. And
you think
my,
it's going to happen, Susan?
We have to get serious about gun control.
I know, but do you think that is going to happen? We're going to get serious.
Yes, I think so.
Me too.
Yes, I hope so.
I think it's
and
one of those
things. And
we
have to pass laws without loopholes because I heard that a lot of these so-called good laws are full of loopholes.
Well, we know what they are, Susan. One of them is the gun shows and another is the Internet. And that's where the people avoid these federal background checks.
Yeah. But what I wanted to say particularly was that hello, Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
And did Jesus Christ say steal from the poor to give to the rich? I mean, I think, you know, Christians, Jews, Muslims, whatever your religion is, the Congress, these conservatives should not be able to go to church. And, you know, I mean, this is so hypocritical. I mean, there are, in the Times today, there's all these programs that are going to be slashed, and it's all for people who have less. And where is their heart? I mean, I'm just totally, I don't know, I just don't understand it. And yet they call themselves Christians. And I feel like Democrats... There are conservative Democrats, and we certainly have that passed. But generally, they are more for sharing. They are more for giving. I mean, we can kill everybody in the world a million times over. Do we need more money for defense systems, some of which do not work anyway? And so, you know, I'm really upset about this.
Well, I can hear it. I also wanted you to know, Susan, as you undoubtedly do, that there are a lot of other people waiting to make their point. But I think your point is particularly interesting. I really do. I'm very impressed with it. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I almost lost it.
No. Good for you, Susan. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Jonathan, our old friend in Norfolk. Okay, Jonathan, talk up.
Good afternoon.
And to you.
I think what we might want to talk about is the selfishness of the baby boom generation.
Wait, how old are you?
I'm going to tell you. I was born in 49. I'm in the middle of it.
You're a kid.
I'm somewhat younger than you because you were born before the Second War, I think.
No, 41.
41.
Yeah, just about it. Yeah.
Well, you know, 2 years into it, being a Brit.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But when... In my childhood in Britain, and not much different from here, our parents who had fought the war thought nothing of paying 70% marginal tax rates, spending an awful lot of money to defend us, had relatively, especially in Britain, less consumption. We roll forward 25 years when our baby boom generation comes to the workforce, and we do two things. We save less. And we insist that our taxes are reduced so that we can spend more. Roll forward 40 years when we're about to retire. We haven't saved enough, and we're demanding that the generation behind us provides for us, both in terms of consumption, but especially in terms of medical care.
Okay.
So, and this is, I think, the position which we really find ourselves today. The working generation, after all, baby boomers are retiring at 10,000 a day, correct, are finding it more and more difficult to provide for the consumption of the retiring generation.
Mm-hmm.
And my suggestion in this particular case would be to raise the retirement ages. You can make your exceptions for people who have...
Uh-huh. But Jonathan, I get it. I'm way ahead of you. But here's the problem with this. The problem is automation. So if you raise the retirement age and the jobs are disappearing and aren't there, what do you do about that?
Well, I can get into that issue too.
Well,
I think there are more jobs available than you might think.
Yes, indeed. And that would be a correct statement. I think in every day you read about an automobile factory which is doing it by robotry, if that's the way to pronounce it, and every day we're losing more jobs. Just last week, Deval Patrick, a great governor, announced that he's doing away with the toll collectors. And you know, we're going to have these automatic things. Those people are not getting jobs again.
I think that's if I may say so, a Luddite philosophy. The economies of the Western world.
You may not say so.
Sorry, I may not say that you're a Luddite.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't say you were. I said I think that's a Luddite philosophy.
Oh, I see.
Which I don't think has been proven over the last two centuries.
So that's the difference between you're stupid or that's a stupid thing to say. But a stupid thing.
I would never say you were stupid. I wouldn't say something. I'm just saying to you, it's a Luddite philosophy, that's all.
Well, Jonathan, I thank you for your call, as always.
All right, and I think you've had a very good lunch, no?
I did. I was over to the Ichiban.
I thought so.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I had some Ludd. Okay, and we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Rhinebeck Artist Shops in Rhinebeck and New Paltz, featuring holiday gifts, stocking stuffers, picture framing, and fine art materials for students, professionals, and the public for over 30 years. RhinebeckArt.com. Dam Cafe and Deli, Saugerties, New York. Serving breakfast and lunch with chef-created soups, salads, vegetarian options, and homemade desserts. Catering services available. TheDamCafeAndDeli.com. And the Unitarian Universalist Congregations of the Capital Region. Using many sources of wisdom in their Sunday services, including the words of Emerson and Thoreau, Native Americans, and the Bible, CapitalRegionUU.org.
And we got to move really fast right now. All five phones are ringing like crazy. But first, our producer and bon vivant, man about town, Patrick Donges, what do you have to report?
Well, we've got Andy on WAMC.org. It says, I agree with the caller who advocated across-the-board cuts of 10 to 15%. My household has recently gone through a 10% decrease in income, and we found a way to manage. One has to figure out what you can live without and make do with what you have, whether you're a person or an institution.
You know, Patrick, we've done that right here at WAMC.
That's correct.
We had a very tough time a couple of years ago, and we sat down and said, look, there's no magic here. We haven't got it, and now we have to make some decisions about what we're going to do. And we did, and we're here.
And now we're back. I think we're back in full force.
We're moving ahead, but some of those cuts that we made are still with us.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks, Al.
Okay, and let's go quickly, everybody, because we have five people on the phone. I want to get out to everybody. Let's go to Jim in Albany. Okay, Jim, you're on.
Hey, hello, Alan.
Hey, Jim.
Speaking of across-the-board cuts, I don't think we can afford to cut public education because public schools are the pillars of democracy.
Yes, and they are. In fact, if you think about it, Jim, we all talk about equality of opportunity. You know what NYU is? 60, no. 60 grand now.
Wow.
Now, a year. Now, how can anybody do that? So we have created a class society in which if you got it, you're okay, and if you don't, you're not. And now we're going to put 40 kids in a classroom? Hey, you know, if any of us ever had reading problems as kids, and there was somebody there for us, you never forget them. But if you got 40 kids in a classroom or 35 kids in a classroom, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah. Hey, thank you for your good point about public opportunity, equal opportunity.
Yeah. Jim, thanks a lot, Jim.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Linda in Arlington, Vermont. Okay, Linda, you're on.
Alan, I love you. I'm a volunteer when I can be over there in good and bad weather, but I wanted to talk to you about the like.
Yeah, like.
My husband is out of his mind every time he hears anyone on television or radio saying this thing has come and become a terrible language problem for American society. The children use it constantly, and they need to be regrouped.
But don't they
grow,
Linda? You know, I'm somebody who really hates it. But let me ask you a question: don't they grow out of it? I mean, you know, I know a lot of kids.
I know 30 and 40 year olds that use it in every sentence,
oh,
and
boy.
It drives me crazy.
Oh boy!
But,
yeah.
And I don't think it's a a financial situation on who makes more money. I hear just wealthy children and unwealthy children.
You know, it's just our language, our thing. That's what happens.
It is so, really sad. But we need to improve grammar in this country for sure.
We do. Linda, thanks for that. Great.
I wanted to back you up because I didn't think anyone else was going to say it.
Nobody cares. Thank you, Linda. Appreciate it.
Bye, Alan.
Yeah. Let's go to Paul in Saugerties. Paul in Saugerties, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Basically, I want to comment on your first caller there, how he was saying that the increase wouldn't be enough to make it worthwhile. I'm a Republican. I'm disappointed that Obama is waffling now and going to allow a $400,000 as the cap.
Well, he doesn't have any choice. I don't think he has any choice.
I think he could have held it at 250. I really wanted him to do that. I was looking forward to that.
How much do you make?
Whatever we get, I make a fraction of that $250,000 a year.
And you're a Republican?
Fraction of it. And yes, I'm a Republican, and I work outside, and raising the retirement age is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I work very hard for a living. I'm in my 50s. But the other thing is, you know, you got me off topic now.
Well, yeah, I do that. I tend to do that.
Yeah.
And frankly, enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy
doing
that.
Basically, I think that we should take whatever we can get. And we're not asking to raise the taxes for the rich. We're asking for them to pay their share, the same share that I have to pay out of what I make. And they're always saying that we're going to raise taxes on them. We're not. We're just asking for the same amount percentage-wise as what the average guy's got to pay. And then one other thing that really irks me is with the show that was on before you, they made the comment again about how Americans are addicted to fuel and fossil fuels, how we're addicted to it.
Yeah.
And the fact is that we have no other option.
Well, shouldn't we create it? Shouldn't we create
our cars?
Yes, that's true.
Yes, we should. Exactly. But we're not given the option to buy a vehicle that doesn't use gas.
Well, wait a second. I went out and bought a Prius. I did.
At how much? I can't afford that Prius.
By the way, it wasn't that expensive.
I can't afford to buy that.
It really wasn't that expensive. It wasn't.
Well, it's a lot more expensive. If they made a vehicle and priced it more reasonably, everybody would buy it.
Well,
have a problem.
Well, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. America, you know, moves on older cars and the rest of it. But Ford is now making one. Chevy's now making one. Toyota's making one, as I said.
And the prices are still up in the $40,000. So for people $50,000.
Hey, Paul, I didn't pay anything like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
you got a good price.
Yeah. Well, I did.
Was it a little payola so you'd advertise for them?
Yeah, right. No, I'll tell you what it was. It was having Debbie Saglambeni, who is one of the great people of all times, who sells underwriting here at WAMC, who really knows how to buy a car and walk in there and say, this is it, boys, yes or no. Hey, Paul, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Take care.
Okay,
bye.
Let's go to Jacob in Albany. Jacob, go.
Hi. I have two quick comments. I won't be long because I hate my voice on the air.
We don't. We like your voice on the air.
Thank you. The first one is I don't think we're going to be able to finish negotiations by January 1st. I don't know. It's just an impression I get. Maybe bonus.
Well, it's really not. It's really not Boehner.
Boehner's action today.
It's not Boehner. It's really his conference. They won't let him do it. I think he wanted to do it. I think he wanted to get there, and he walks into that room, and there are these guys, and they're hearing from their constituents, and they're yelling, and they're screaming, and they're saying, no way, and Boehner has to decide, do I want to continue to be speaker, or do I want to give up, or do I want to say nothing doing? You know the answer.
Yeah. And my second comment was just that I don't like people who don't use turn signals. I'm doing a lot of driving here, so...
It makes me crazy. That's a very good point, because you get behind them, and it looks like they're going to go forward, and just as the light turns green, they turn on the damn signal.
Yeah,
that's wrong.
Terrible.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I have a driving job, and I just see it constantly.
Yeah. Are you in a big truck that you can look over people, or are you a little job?
No, I'm in a tiny car. I'm a computer tech. I travel around.
Wow.
So...
Well, hey, Jacob, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, let's go to Maureen in Schenectady. Maureen, you're on.
Hey, Alan, thanks for having this show today. I'll be really quick because I'm going to repeat some things that some other people said, but I just want to say that, in general, we as Americans, we do not know how to sacrifice. And I think that this is a time where we all need to just figure out what we can do and what we can save and what we can cut wasteful spending out of our lives. We, as a country, even though I know that there are a lot of people out there who are in hard times, we all have ways that we can.
What are some of yours, Maureen?
Oh, there's, you know, I don't make a lot of money, but there's definitely some things that I could spend less money on. You know, less money on wine in the evenings and things like that, you know?
Yeah, a glass of red wine will keep you alive a little bit longer.
Yeah. But, you know, we all have those things. And the other final thing I wanted to make a comment about was people who are critical of people who are using the SNAP cards or benefit cards, and then they don't like the way they're dressed.
Yeah.
Come on, don't be so judgmental.
Yeah. Or as President Ford used to say, judgmental.
Yeah, right.
thank you, Maureen. Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Let's go to Eric in Saratoga. Eric in Saratoga, you're on.
Hey, Alan, I'm the one that called you about the people using the SNAP card.
Okay, but Eric, we have one to a customer, so I'm going to let you do it this time.
Just a quick rebuttal. It wasn't the fact that they're using it. What irked me was the fact she was bragging about how they just picked up the new iPhone 5 for her husband, and her young child.
Well, you made that point. You made that point.
But everybody's, you know, I'm not picking on people that use the card. If there's a better vetting of people that actually need this money and not are abusing the system, fine.
Okay, I take you want to tighten things up a bit. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay, Eric.
If you need it, you get it.
Okay, one to a customer. Thanks, Eric. And let's go to Terry in Pine Island. Terry.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello?
Hello, Terry.
Hi. I'm calling you on an assured phone, you know, the government phone. And we lost my wife and I were in Tribeca since 1968. I'm an artist.
Wow.
And we lost everything with 9/11, and she just died of a 9/11 cancer.
Oh, boy.
And the benefits people were amazing. They vet everyone very carefully. They worked overtime to help me. I cannot fault that system at all. There's a lot of abuses, and if the guy has a legitimate suspect about it, there's a phone number to call, and they'll check it out.
Uh-huh.
It's not that difficult. What I'd like to know about is I can't find anybody who's getting any traction on the old idea of a flat tax. Is anybody talking about that anymore?
No. No. You remember that Forbes talked about it a lot.
Yeah, exactly. He was
Forbes.
A friend.
But here was the thing. You know, flat taxes are not progressive. That means everybody pays the same. You earn $10,000, you pay the same percentage of somebody who makes $1 million. And that seems to a lot of people not to be a good idea, because those who make more should pay a little bit more. That's the difference in philosophy between those people who, you know, like the Republican conservatives like Forbes. Now, with that said, we have to examine the fact that some of the people who are the richest in this country are paying the lowest tax rates. We hear that from Warren Buffett. So it becomes quite a quagmire.
Actually, I because I'm an artist, I've known a lot of multi-billionaires.
Yeah.
And they give a lot more money than just taxes. They do a lot more things.
Yeah, they buy a yacht.
The one thing I always admired about the very wealthy in America is it gives the rest of us hope.
Yeah.
And
and then, by the way, that's true of the lottery. Everybody plays the lottery thinking they're going to win.
Well,
I mean, I was planning on how to spend that money. But
hard work's not going to get you the lottery.
I hate to say this, because somebody will take it the wrong way. But, you know, because I'm not a Marxist. But Marx talked about the concept of false consciousness. And that's what you're espousing here, that some schnook who has nothing is going to think, oh, well, it's great that they're up there with all of that money, and that gives us hope.
No, I still believe that. The difference between America and the rest of the world is, in America, you can be wrong and foolish and still be wealthy.
Yes, you can. Terry, you don't have to be smart to be rich. You don't have to be anything to be rich. You just
exactly.
have to be rich to be rich. Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Laura in Woodstock. Okay, Laura, you're on.
Hey, Alan, I had a
question about the tax being raised on people making $250,000. I had heard that it was only going to amount to $50 extra that they would be paying in taxes annually. Do you know what the exact figure
would be? No, I don't, Laura, and I would be foolish to tell you what I don't know, but I can tell you this. I'll tell you one of the big issues of the debate. The issues are you going to pay on everything that you earn over $250,000? Are you following me? Or are you going to pay from dime one? And that makes a huge difference. And that we don't know yet.
Right. It would be nice if they filled it out, because if people making more than $250,000, you know, let's say up to $300,000, have to pay $50 more. I mean, come on.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. Laura, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Alan.
Right. Let's go to Chris in Claremont. Okay, Chris, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Yeah, what?
I want to first say I have the same problem as you do with like, with people who keep repeating, you know.
Yeah. Am I guilty? Am I guilty?
No, I don't think so.
I hope not, yeah. Okay.
But what the question I have, or the comment, is that I hear a lot of discussion related to cuts in entitlements, but I don't hear a lot of discussion about what would become of the military budget, which is greater than 50% of the expenditures.
First of all, you're right on the money. It is a very interesting question. Now, Eisenhower, as I've said over and over again, reminded us to stay out of the industrial, you know, the military-industrial complex. Remember that? Okay.
Maybe, I happened to watch the film last night called Why We Fight.
Yeah.
And it was a documentary done in 2006.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Part of that film has the full speech that Eisenhower made.
And we play it on WAMC from time to time. We've always played it during the fun.
Apparently he deleted the word congressional.
No,
it was military-industrial congressional complex.
But so what? Of course the Congress is in on it. I mean, how else would you get it? But he warned us. Now what's happened is we really are addicted to the defense industry supporting a good part of what this country goes through. It's not productive in my mind, but you take away the defense industry, and this is what they're all arguing. Let me tell you, I interviewed the congressman from over there in wherever, in Massachusetts, and he's always, whether he's a Republican or a Democrat, and they've had both, they're always talking about spending billions more on one nuclear submarine. We need it like a hole in the head. Nevertheless, he's arguing because he knows it means jobs for his district. Are you following?
Oh, yes.
That's the problem. Hey, Chris, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Let's go to Brian in Tannersville. Okay, Brian, you're on.
I wanted to make a comment about what kids these days are paying for SUNY universities.
Right, right.
And the fact that my daughter is paying $19,000 a year.
For everything, right? Including room and board?
Yes, including everything. And, you know, I'm a pretty frugal guy. I make a decent living. I have a mortgage.
Sure.
My retirement savings is half of my annual salary.
Wow.
And they want me to pick up the difference for her. And I can't do it.
I'm sorry, Brian. What difference?
The difference between the amount of loans that they're willing to give her, which don't amount to all the money that she needs. They're looking for me to pick up the difference.
Well, Brian, just cutting it short because we really are out of time, I want to tell you that I couldn't agree with you more. If we are talking about equality of opportunity, and we're saying the way you achieve that is you send everybody to kindergarten through high school for free, then why are we deciding that when they want to go to a university and they don't have money, that it's not the same principle?
Yeah, and you know, she has girlfriends whose, you know, parents don't have money, and they get a free ride, and they're going on vacations for spring break. She's going home to go to work to make money, and if one of these kids was getting a free ride, starts to fail, nobody's held accountable.
Brian, we got you. Brian, we got you. Thanks, friend. Let's go to Kermit in Pittsfield. Kermit, go very fast, will you please?
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Chartak. Yeah, the last one of the previous callers stole my thunder when I was going to
comment on the cost of the military-industrial complex. The only comment or footnote I would add to that is we as the United States are providing protection to the rest of the world for trade and commerce, and no one is contributing to that except us. I don't know how many global enterprises would like to authorize, let's say, Nigeria to provide protection for them on the oceans and for transport of goods and services across boundaries. But that's not why I called. We're talking about
You got a half a minute, so make it
fast. The budget, tax, and cut costs. Government itself and the political process in this country is enormously excessive. We just spent $76 million for the Senate race in Massachusetts. We're going to have a special election the politicians spend another $76 million. The cost of the political process is unjustifiable.
Kermit, we thank you for that. We are out of time. I want to thank everybody who called in and apologize to Rich and Mike and Eli and David in West Stockbridge. We have heard from so many people today. It's been a wonderful show. I thank everybody who called, and we are just about out of time. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Springfield Museums, presenting School Vacation Wacky Week 2.0, with daily performances, planetarium shows, and the Dr. Seuss Sculpture Garden, December 27th to 30th, springfieldmuseums.org. The New York State Tobacco-Free Community Partners working to reduce youth and adult smoking rates across the state and help save lives. New York State Tobacco-Free Community Partners at smokefreecapital.org, and Healthy Living Market and Cafe working to support local agriculture and their theater and their communities with organic products, community outreach, and jobs. Opening Saratoga Springs 2013, healthylivingmarket.com. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online on the Vox Pop page of our website, WAMC.org. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell. She's terrific. We love her. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.